I'm your host, Rebecca Boatman, and today I am so honored to bring you Scott and Emily McKay. They are professional dating and relationship coaches, adventure travelers, conference speakers, media personalities, and podcast hosts. They reach a global audience of over 300,000, are the authors of 10 books between them, and have been featured by over 400 media outlets worldwide, including MTV, ABC, NBC, CBS, Forbes, and WSJ. They are both Travelers Century Club members, have traveled to well over 100 countries together, and proudly world school their two youngest children. They are avid BMX racers. Emily and her daughter Sarah are top 10 ranked nationally and were both on the USA national team for 2017, representing our country at the World Championships. Hello, Scott and Emily, and welcome.
Thank you. We're happy to be here too.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
You guys are my only duo on here, and I absolutely love it.
How sad. Nobody else has found anybody.
Aww.
You're having an actual summit on how to meet the man of your dreams, and like, she's the only one who did, huh?
Oh, out of the whole world. It's, you guys are like the true partners, you know, like just an awesome partnership. So I love that I'm able to bring both of you on together, and I'm sure the audience is going to love it too.
Yeah,
we're lucky.
It was a close call too, because we had parenting to do this morning. So Emily got in here right under the wire. It's good.
I know. We made it perfect. Yeah. Well, there's a will, there's a way. I love it. So, yeah, always, yeah, free will, always
the
will.
Other couple.
What was that?
Yeah, that's the other couple you need to have on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the importance of being earnest. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and earnest is capitalized, and so is will.
Just
call this that. Where there's a will, there's a way, and capitalize will.
I love that. You guys, before we started recording, we were thinking, what do we exactly want to call this? And, you know, Scott was talking about the importance of not settling. And so today him and Emily are going to speak into, you know, and I'm super excited to hear about it, how to never settle and be ready for the right man. And I love that we pulled this together perfectly right before. So it's awesome. So what do you want to speak into right away?
Well, it sounds a lot better than where there's a Kevin, there's a way.
Who's that? Kevin?
Or whether there's a Bruce, there's a way.
just someone in particular.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, I think it's a great topic. And, you know, unfortunately, there's become a certain celebration of settling. And I think that's because people feel they're being optimistic, even trusting that someone out there is going to be compatible with them, get them. Be optimistic and generous like they are, and really represent what they wanted in a soulmate. And I, unfortunately, you know, to pretty much throw this down and get rid of the fluff, I think it has a lot to do with people just being very selfish and very narcissistic nowadays. And I think dating advice has been telling them to do that. And then they're surprised when they go out on a date and they say, well, I can't connect with anybody, because everybody else wants to get something out of a relationship too. And I think when people are optimistic and generous, that's a great start. And when they actually are open to someone who would be someone like them, instead of someone who will just check the boxes or.
I love that.
Romanticized view of it is.
Yeah.
Do what they really want. I think people are a lot more likely to find who it is they're looking for. But I just think it's really sad that people have started to give up on that one. Really, like you said, there is a will, there's a way, the uncapitalized version. It all starts with being open to a relationship instead of simply getting what I want. You
know? Yeah.
Not to mention, a lot of people think, okay, well, I've gone through life, I've accomplished what I want, and now it's time to settle down, and this is the only person available to me. You know, they fall into the trap of thinking that all the good ones are already married and gone, so I'm just going to take the first thing available. And, you know, I'll just simply mold him or her into what I would like them to be.
And it never works out that way.
Yeah. So there's two people, and they're both trying to tango here. And if everybody sees each other as a fixer-upper, then you're going to have the battle of the fixers.
That's a good point. I love that you guys are sharing this. It's like what I'm kind of hearing is it's totally a different mentality. It's like the taking, like going out and what can I take from this person to give me the experience that I want versus the being. Like, who do I get to be and who do I get to embody in order to then create that experience with another individual? I'm like hearing the distinguishing differences, and I love that you guys are touching on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, frankly, one of the things that raises a lot of eyebrows whenever we're doing interviews is our firmly held belief that relationships aren't a lot of work. Amelia and I have not worked on our relationship in the entire 12 years we've known each other. She's sitting here shaking her head.
Going, no, we just enjoy it.
Even your eyebrows are raised.
I don't think it's work. I guess if I was with the wrong person and I had to struggle through it, yeah, that would be work.
Well, I think it's just bad dating advice. Oh, relationships are a lot of work. Then why the hell would we want to do that? I mean, let's just stay single if it's a lot of work we're doing. I mean, I can go dig a ditch or work in a coal mine without some woman in my life.
It makes it would make dating sound daunting if that was the belief that you were moving from, that, oh, it's going to be hard.
Exactly. I mean, it's funny. I was on a panel of dating coaches, and since, you know, I'm Yoda and I've been around a while, they made me go last, you know. And the first four people were, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And it was like, you know, how do you know when it's time to settle down, which is a term I can't stand. Anything with settle in it just sounds terrible.
You like gag. You're like, nope, take it out of your vocabulary.
I mean, one of the teams I root for used to have a player with whose last name was Settle, and I didn't like him either. I mean, you know, they were saying, all of them agreed. It was like one of those weird psychological tests where everybody agrees on the wrong line is the longest one out of the two, and then you're the one that comes last, and it's like, are you going to give in to the groupthink or think for yourself, you know? And they were all saying, oh, yeah, make sure you cross everything off your bucket list while you're in your 20s, because once you get married, all that stops. And, you know, once you have kids, man, it's all about the kids from there, and there isn't any fun after that.
There is no more you.
And I got down the end of the line. I looked down. I go, "What the hell are you four talking about?" And they just looked at me like, "What? You're gonna disagree?" And it's like, "Well, hell yeah, I'm gonna disagree. I've been married for however many years now, and I've crossed more items off my bucket list, visited more countries, been on more adventures, had more fun, and was a hell of a lot less lonely doing all of the above since I met this wonderful woman in my life." Mm-hmm. And you know, we've popped out a couple kiddos since then, and we take them with us and take them on even more adventures. I mean, now they're BMX champions and winning trophies and kicking butt and taking names, and I've never had so much fun in my entire life.
Oh, you quit. Oh, go ahead, Emily.
I said, I know. It's so much work.
Well, actually, a little minor correction there. Cleaning their diapers was work. That was mostly for you.
The nursing was work.
Oh, that was
work. Oh.
I can't even do that. I you know, that one I was completely off the hook on. Yeah, she would do all the work. I'd sit around and go, go, Emily, go, you know.
Well,
it's not completely true. I'm just
making you're just cheerleading for her in the background. Yeah, so cool.
I had a cute outfit, too. You should have seen it.
Oh, I love your guys' relationship and just, you know, hearing the both of you right now. And for the listeners that are listening that are single, and I can guarantee they're admiring what you guys have created, what can you tell them to give them hope that that does exist for them?
Well, you know, when I first became single after my divorce, that was something I struggled with initially, because I thought that I was going to have this happily ever after situation in my first marriage, and it didn't work out that way. And then I would look at these couples and I was wondering, so when is the shoe going to drop for them? You know, is there a happy ever after? You know, is there such thing as this wonderful love between two couples that is real, that lasts? And then I would see the elderly couples who were together for, you know, 50, 60 years, and they were happy together. And, you know, when one passes away, the other was too sad to continue on with life. So apparently it had to exist. You know, there's just too much proof that it existed. So then I had to change my mentality and go, you know, I'm not going to give in to the fake or the wrong idealism of it doesn't exist. Because I can see from people who have been there, it does exist. And that's where I got my strength And my encouragement is realizing I've seen other people succeed. Therefore, I'm going to do the same thing. And so I did my research. I set a plan in place and I went out and got my soulmate, which is Scott. And it does exist, but you have to start with yourself and believe it first.
Actually, it all starts with making her laugh.
Aww.
That's why I'm still here. You know, you mentioned something funny. Yes. Your moments. She was talking about how you just think this shoe is going to drop for all these happy couples. What a rough way to live your life. You know, when you're just living in a world where you're dominated by schadenfreude that other couples that are happy are somehow going to, you know, it's going to catch up with them. And I used to get those emails, remember?
I do.
People would email you about the two of you?
Oh, yes. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially angry, like, MGTOW guys, like men going your own way type of guys.
Yeah.
Oh, she's just going to cuckold you. What was the one guy he said? He said you were going to leave me for Tommy Lee from Motley Crue. And like, he's so not her type. I mean, I look like Rudy, you know. I'm like, you know, pinch my cheeks. I'm one of those guys. And she's going to run off with some tattooed rock star guy with long hair.
With your income.
With my income, yeah. With my children.
Wow.
All the money is going to go to lawyers. I'll lose everything. And this is going to happen within 2 years.
And he emailed you several times through the years.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, a couple years later. She's still there. You know, it's like,
oh, my God.
Yeah, no, but I've had several guys like, you know, they just don't believe in marriage. They don't believe in relationships. They don't believe in
decent
women. I mean, you know, I know there's men and women on both sides who have just really given up on the other gender. And it's like women will write us and go, you know, all men are jerks and they're dogs and they only want one thing. Can you find me a good husband? It's like, no.
Yeah, not with that belief, honey.
Right. All the guys who believe in treating a woman right and respecting women aren't going to be saddled up with a woman who doesn't respect or appreciate a guy. I mean, there's got to be a two-way street there. People are too smart for that. So it isn't gender specific at all. No.
Unless he settles.
So with, it's so crazy that guy, you know, I mean, I'm not surprised, especially since you guys have a large audience, you know, you're going to get people, a percentage of people like that.
Right,
yeah. And it's just so crazy because you know that their experience is their experience and they're like living through that and just trying, you know, versus your guys' experience is completely different. And that's like the magic. I love how Emily, you were touching on that. Like, and you did too just now, Scott, like the magic of what you believe truly.
That's true. And, you know, it's really sad because people are gathering this information from their past experience, like you said. Yeah. And so they've been heartbroken. They've been kicked around a little bit. And so they're thinking, this is just how it's going to be. And not to mention, we're always looking for comfort, you know, something to make us feel better. And if we think, well, I failed at this, that just feels terrible. But if you think that there's no way of succeeding at this, then you're not really a failure.
And it's the entire other gender's fault.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's like power, makes you powerless.
Right.
Therefore, you feel better because, well, it's not my fault because, well, I was doomed to fail. So therefore, you know, there's nothing I can change. And it, therefore, we have to project that on everybody else because if we don't, we're back to square one.
Wow. So with you guys sharing this, I'm super curious as to when, you know, say a woman meets a great man and you know how I see this happen where there'll be a little hiccups and then in their mind, they're questioning, am I settling or is this just something that we get to? And as you said, relationships aren't a lot of work and there are, you know, moments where, you know, little things happen here or there. So what, as women are dating, right? As they're out dating and maybe they're seeing some men consistently, how can they check in with themselves? What question can they ask themselves to get really clear on if they are settling or not? If they have really found, you know, that the right man, like how you guys are like best friends and have great experiences together is what I'm hearing. So how can they check in with themselves to know and to trust that?
She heard correctly.
What was that?
You heard correctly.
Yeah.
We are best friends and share great experiences.
Oh,
that was a great question you posed. And there's an easy solution and an easy answer to that. Now, I talked to so many women, and this is the hardest thing. A lot of people think you can't control who you fall in love with. You just kind of go out there like you're, you know, a boat out in the sea and just let the waves toss you in any which direction. And, you know, if you do that, you're going to be in trouble.
That reminds me of, hey, Dreamboat, not you, Shipwreck. You're either a dreamboat or a shipwreck, right?
I know, right?
Yeah. But a boat out there in the ocean.
Anyway.
I'm sorry, I completely hijacked.
No, it's okay.
Back to being dead.
Yeah, you're like, where's the destination, y'all?
So anyway, back to my point.
I love it.
So when we get out there and you're causing me to lose my thought.
You're dreaming up jokes about the destination, like, you know, are we going to the Bahamas or some oil rig out in the Gulf? You
know? Are we going to paradise or hell?
So to get back to my point is, you know, a lot of people think you can't control who you're dating or who you're going to fall in love with. But the truth is you can. And that's with pre-planning, because once you've fallen in love and you're, you know, you have rose-colored glasses and you see the imperfections, glaring, massive imperfections. We're not talking about, oh, he just leaves his shoes on the floor for you to step all over. That's pretty insignificant. But I'm talking about, like, you know, he's a massive alcoholic who beats up on his women. I mean, that's
got a $40,000 a month gambling addiction.
Right. You know, we're talking about some serious flaws.
He's wanted in 16 states.
But I love him. You know, yeah. I'm so in love, and I can't control who I fall in love with. Here's what we need to do. First, before you start getting out there and dating, you got to write a list of, first, your deal breakers. And you have to make a promise to yourself. If the man crosses that line of a deal breaker, or a woman, you just got to let go. You have to let loose and be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. Because the minute you decide to give in to one of those deal breakers, you'll give in to another and another, mm-hmm. and then you settle.
And mm-hmm. the beauty of that is you're only lying to yourself, and you know it, if you've mm-hmm. done this as 2020 foresight. If you put this list together of things you absolutely will not tolerate, then you meet this guy, and it's like, well, you know, he violates three of the things that I myself said out of my own mouth and put pen to paper that I would never want in my entire life, but I love him, you know. Then you know you're lying to yourself. There's nobody else to argue with. You can't argue with your mother. You can't argue with your BFF just telling you to leave him. You're arguing with yourself. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is really powerful. But of course, you got to do this before you meet the man of your dreams. You can't meet someone and then back into this list, because it's going to strangely mold to reflect exactly who you're seeing at the time.
Yeah, you won't put
it's too late.
You won't put the things you're supposed to be on that list, because if you did, the person wouldn't qualify.
Right.
I love that. I can just hear some woman going, "But I love him."
Oh, you can hear some men doing it too. It's like, oh yeah, you know. She treats me horribly, and she's, you know, she's cheated on me four times, and
oh,
she's
got a cocaine. So
yeah, but she looks really good. She got a cocaine addiction, but she really looks great. Yeah.
That's a really good tangible tool, you know, that the audience, the listeners can do right now, is make a list of deal breakers.
And it's not hard. And truly, the minute you give up on one of those deal breakers, you have settled, because you truly believe that there isn't anybody who will fulfill that list.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also another side to that, and it's also a good idea to put down a list of things you do want.
Yeah.
And you usually the way we represent that is, you know, the list of deal breakers are binary. They're ones and zeros. They're either there or they're not. And there are a list of traits that you may desire that are more quantifiable. Now, at the risk of this sounding like some really cold-hearted stuff to throw at a person you're seeing, it isn't like you whip out this list on a first date and go, okay.
Yeah, that's like bored at all.
Lady on them, you know. Boy, that's just really a bad idea on first dates. First dates are all about just seeing if you get along, and then important life questions can happen later. Mm-hmm. But the importance of having that list of what you're looking for is it grounds you. It reminds you of what's important. Because let's say you meet three or four guys, and they're all really charming and fun and interesting, and they're completely different. Their personalities are completely different. You don't know which one of these guys you're going to want the most or which one is going to be better for you. But you're starting from a baseline of being emotionally interested in all of them. Yes, you're attracted. You're emotionally excited to be with this person. Mm-hmm. Then knowing what it is that you told yourself, again, 2020 foresight, that you were looking for, helps you to really have a more objective frame in which to look at what kind of decision you're making about who you're looking for. Because we make silly decisions when they're only emotional decisions. But, you know, then again, and I have to tell some really smart left brain engineers kind of guys this sometimes, you're never going to talk someone into falling in love with you.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not machines.
A woman into being attracted. So yes, you're starting from the emotional attraction, but you're also reminding yourself, hey, stupid, you know, this is what you're looking for.
Oh, yes. So what I'm also hearing, it's almost like when you set these deal breakers, these boundaries, I feel like it allows people to move into dating from a space of excitement because, you know, you know, okay, I can have this and I don't need to have this in my relationship. And I feel like, and I would love for you guys to speak into this, that self, you know, trusting yourself is so important when it comes to dating. Because I feel like a lot of times if people don't trust themselves to honor those boundaries, then they don't even like being in relationship to honor those boundaries, you know, with another partner. So I would love to hear just you and Emily's ideas on and thoughts around self-trust when it comes to honoring these deal breakers.
Well, you have to trust that you know what's good for you. Mm-hmm. You have to know yourself. Excuse me, I have allergies.
This is why 15-year-olds don't get married to each other anymore.
Yeah.
They've also maturity.
I know, yeah. Right? The older you get, the more mature and the more wise you get.
Yeah.
Which is great because when I met Scott, I was much more wiser.
Me too.
But you do have to trust that, you know, we all know the common sense deal breakers, you know, no alcoholism, you know, drug addictions, you know, no wife abusers, things like that. But there are more subtle ones. You know, if you're not a smoker and you don't want to be around it, you know, a non-smoker is a great person to put as a deal breaker. If you are a smoker and you enjoy it and you don't want to be hounded about your smoking, you just like to sit and enjoy it. You know, you should probably put on there, I would like to be with a smoker so that we could, you know, not bother each other. So there's no right or wrong. It's just that sometimes a deal breaker really does matter in your personality of how you live your own lifestyle. For example, if you love to travel, well, why would you get with someone who's scared to death to be in a plane?
Yeah.
That's a deal breaker.
I've actually been on that first date before.
Really?
What? You know, I think another important point is it's okay to put esoteric things on your deal breaker list.
Because mm-hmm.
what happens is your friends, people you know, are going to be like, why are you being so picky? You know, mm-hmm. this person's perfectly okay for you, but they do something or they are something that drives you up the wall. And it's something that's quirky and special to you that you can't stand about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be someone out there who appreciates that person much more than you ever could. So why put the other person through that torture? Because the only thing worse than settling is being settled for.
Oh, yeah. That's like probably the feeling. That'd be like a more lonely feeling than just being alone.
Oh, yeah. And then you're never secure. I mean, you know, all these women who are like, hey, you know, you should look past this. You should look past that because they're married and they want to have a baby and the guy feels guilt tripped into marrying her. They're still going to be really, really disappointed and hurt when his neck's swiveling around and he's looking at women he's more attracted to or women he would have rather have been with. And it's a very unsettling feeling to have been settled for.
Very mm-hmm. painful, which, you know, the jealousy starts to sit in and the bitterness and the arguing and the misery.
And mm-hmm. I can't underscore enough. It doesn't mean that the person who's settled for was unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
It means that someone out there would have appreciated this person better had, well, let's make it a collective we, right? The royal
mm-hmm.
we.
Mm-hmm.
If we are honest with ourselves and we look at the red flags and we look at the indicators that, hey, you know what, this isn't really the right situation. If we can be less, more patient and less impatient, as go hand in hand, obviously, you mm-hmm. know, we're going to be much happier when the right person comes along than trying to fit that square peg of a relationship into the round hole for the rest of our lives. Because it ultimately will not work in every single way.
Well, that's why the divorce rate's so high.
Boom. Yeah, exactly. People still have options is what the problem is.
Yeah.
You know, they go and they meet someone and they go, oh my gosh, well, as poorly suited this person is to a relationship, perhaps with anybody. You mm-hmm. have to be one half of a great relationship somehow. And of course, people who are narcissistic and very selfish and have
the meism.
Some of the universal deal breakers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody wants to be with someone who's a drug addict, for example, or someone who, you know, is living a life of crime or something like that.
Yeah, you can't have a relationship. I mean, there's no room for a healthy, loving relationship if someone has a relationship with drugs. There just isn't.
Right. You bet. Absolutely. Or poor self-esteem is a deal breaker, you know, because, you know, the old adage, if someone can't love themselves, they pretty much when people have low self-esteem, they'll blame you.
Yeah.
Like you're a loser for valuing them. And I mean, not just that.
That's a nightmare. We don't want that for any of you listeners.
You know, I remember being 18 and telling a friend of mine years ago, this is back before I was so wise, back when I had quite a bit of learning to do. But I remember telling a friend of mine, because we always talk about boys, you know, one of the favorite subjects of teenagers. And she had high standards. Oh, my goodness. I was like, not to throw out her name out there, but I would tell her, you're too picky. There is no such thing as a guy that's going to fit that description.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I settled and married the wrong guy. But, you know, 8 years later, she found the guy who fit that description. I mean, she found the guy she wanted, and she didn't settle. And wow, they've been married some 30 years now.
Well, mm-hmm. I think there are two caveats there. And this is an important segue in this conversation. The first one is you can't be looking for someone who doesn't exist. Like, you know, we've had people come to us and they have one foot in two different major religions and are trying to reconcile them. When
that sounds like a lot of inside friction.
Right. And they want to meet someone who's just like them, and it's just unlikely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to meet someone who speaks fluent Mandarin Chinese and, you know,
is check this
also into wakeboarding with me. And if they don't, you know, want to go live in Idaho, and it's like, you know, some of them get really, really esoteric and picky in not a possible way.
Mm-hmm.
I think also people want something that is more negotiable than they think it is. Like, for example, if I meet someone, they have to be interested in camping or I don't want to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
When in reality, they may not realize they're interested in camping until they meet you. That's what happened with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for someone you connect with, someone who thinks like you. And then, of course, you can share your commonalities with each other and actually enrich each other's lives. The other more important point is you do have to be ready to be one half of a great relationship. We call that being connectable. There are certain archetypal connection or archetypal attraction traits that most of us all want. And this is why, for example, some women can't go on a third date without the guy wanting to marry her. And other women go out with a guy for 2 years and are begging him to put a ring on her finger, and he will not do it. It's because, you know, there's something missing there that makes this person someone I want to connect with. And of course, it's not gender specific. But, you know, for example, people want someone who's kind-hearted, not evil.
Mm-hmm.
They want someone who's generous, not selfish.
Mm-hmm. Supportive.
Supportive, mm-hmm. not, you know,
belittling.
Negative and belittling of everything. I mean, these are things that most of us would say we want. I think just about everybody would. And the more of those archetypal universal boxes we check, the more we're ready to be one half of a great relationship. And then it's amazing how people we connect with just come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
You know, what I tell people all the time, when you're deserving what you want, which is our tagline, deserve what you want is our website. DeserveWhatYouWant.com. When you are what the person of your dreams is looking for, when you're that best version of your authentic self, and of course, this is a journey you go through your entire life, but I think mm-hmm. some people approach it and they mean better than others at it.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to be the best person you can be and you're moving in that direction, you're going to always be attracted to the people you attract.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll be like you.
Right. And you have the positive thinking and the good mentality and the right frame of mind. Unlike when we mentioned in the very beginning of the podcast, where, you know, if you think that all men are dogs or all women are, you know, gold diggers, well, that's all you're going to get because that's your mentality. That's your mind thinking.
And your sunglasses.
Anyone you attract is going to fit that bill. So mm-hmm. when you start thinking more positive, start being the right person, start developing your own personality to reflect what you want, those people will come out of, like Scott said, will come out of the woodwork. It starts with our thinking.
And you know, what you just mentioned is talked about a lot, but very rarely do people define the mechanism by which that works.
Mm-hmm.
For example, why do I always end up with manipulative people who abuse me?
Go ahead.
Nobody goes through life unless they're really, really damaged, saying, I want to be manipulated and abused.
Mm-hmm.
But when they have come to the conclusion, you know, most people out there are manipulators and abusers, and I guess that's just my lot in life. That's a homing signal to manipulators and abusers that you will accept a manipulator and abuser in your life, and they can latch onto that because it's what your expectation is. So you will tolerate it. Now, there's also personality types in that specific situation. Like, you're particularly optimistic, people-pleasing persons who want, you know, approval. And as long as the manipulator never gives that approval, then the person will try even harder. And then the person says, well, you're not trying hard enough. Next thing you know, you have that cycle go.
Right. And if you're easily guilt into things and always wanting to take care of people, that happens so easily.
But, you know, to continue the analogy, if I am an optimistic, giving person, then both of those things, I think, are archetypal attraction traits. We love people who are optimistic, not pessimistic. And we love people who are generous, not selfish. Now, if I meet another person who I deserve, who's optimistic and generous, then voila, you have a relationship where we're giving to each other and thinking the best of each other all the time. That's how this works. That's how you keep from settling.
This is really, I love what you guys are sharing, and it's drawing me to ask you guys a specific question. You know how people say like opposites attract, and I'm so curious, you're talking about attracting what you are being, and do you two personally feel like you balance each other out really well in certain areas and then you're really alike in certain areas? Or I would just love to hear more about your relationship specifically within this topic.
I love that expression, opposites attract, because I believe yes and no. Mm-hmm. Now, it depends on what we're talking about in regards to opposites. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I love to travel and somebody else can't stand it. They want to be a homebody and sit on the couch. That is a bad opposite. Now, a good opposite, for example, is I might be a little bit high strung and somebody's a little bit more relaxed and, you know, let's think before we act. You know, the two personalities will mesh nicely because the person's more relaxed can subdue the person who's a little high strung. But at the same time, the person who's high strung can encourage the person that's more subdued to come out and to move more and do what needs to be done. So that's where opposites can complement each other. But there's opposites out there that will just, you know, they'll butt heads and just create pure chaos. So
yeah, their tigers will be out all the time.
So that opposites attract, you know, it's interesting because it's a yes and no. Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting comment.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm married to a woman who can do Sudoku puzzles on a 14-hour flight. I would pretty much rather watch paint dry. At least do the taxes, because, you know, crunching the numbers is going to have an end result. You're not just doing it for the sake of not doing it. But she's very different. She's a numbers person. She does do the taxes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which would be the bane of my existence. You know, so where you have talents that balance each other out, I think that's great. But I think it's an overly romantic, you know, not in the lovey-dovey sense, but in the you're kidding yourself. I think people romanticize differences as if, oh, we're going to get over this hurdle together. It's like, stop making it so difficult on yourself.
I'm so in love.
You know, I mean, major faith-based differences, complete differences in terms of I'm a meatitarian and she's a vegan. You know, I want to barbecue ribs every night. Carrots.
I'm going to create tension.
How you handle money. One wants to spend everything. One wants to save everything. One's a neat, you know, it's like the Odd Couple. You got Felix Unger and Oscar Madison, and, you know, it's never going to work. Things like, I want to sit around and be boring all day. I want to go out and be exciting. I think you can influence each other a little bit there. But
you both have to be open to it.
One of them is incredibly too smart for their own good, and the other one's dumb as a rock. These relationships don't work.
Yeah, because you can't really mentally stimulate one another.
Parenting differences.
That's huge.
What one?
Parenting. Like,
how
many kids do we want, you know?
Where do we want to live?
Where do you want to live? All those things, you know, you have to kind of be at least open to each other's wavelength on those things.
Yeah.
You're not going to be happy together. But I think the most important ones are those major lifestyle, worldview-centric ones. People almost look for challenges because, it's going to be so romantic when we overcome this huge obstacle. Why are you making life so difficult for yourself?
Yeah. Who's
the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with? You want to be miserable? Or would you rather just go through life as a team, being one of each other, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's like a lack of presence, I feel like, as well, when people operate from that mentality of once we get over this mountain, we will then feel X.
Which one of you is going to get over the mountain?
That's what I was going to say. It's like, this is, you know, me trying to mold somebody to my will.
And there we go. We've come full circle to trying to change fixer-uppers again.
No, we don't want it. So there was one other question that, it was just on the tip of my tongue that I wanted to ask you guys. I lost it.
Yeah, you made her lose her thought.
Do you want to take us out? You want to take us out for steak and lobster sometime? Well, of course we would love that. Santone. Black's barbecue.
Though. Oh my gosh.
It's
lunchtime. Why don't we do these things at lunchtime?
I bet the listeners know you guys are in Texas now.
if they can't hear from the accent, the cat's
out of the bag.
I got the question. Okay. Time's like flying by with our interview as well. I love it. So question, since we're talking about deal breakers and the importance of them, and I feel like this is a common question, when do you guys feel like it's appropriate to have the discussion of deal breakers?
The dog is a deal breaker.
The dog barking?
Yes, hang on a second.
Like I said, first date should be not all about taking out the checklist and being so left brain. Just see if you get along on the first date, especially if you've never met each other before.
Mm-hmm.
The second date can be like, hey, you know what? What are you looking for out of your dating life right now? I mean, is this person looking to get into a relationship, an exclusive relationship? Are they just playing the field right now? And then, you know, I think it's okay to start asking some lightweight questions like, you know, what's your general view on these things? You know, how do you feel about, you want to have children someday? Where do you go to church? What do you do for a living kind of thing? Mm-hmm. But I don't think they should be confrontational questions. It shouldn't be like, all right, well, you know, if you voted for Hillary or for Donald, just leave right now. You know, if they're confrontational, then that one, man, is huge. Oh my God. It's like
some people put that in their Bumble profiles. I've seen, I'm like, what in tarnation?
Oh, I know. Absolutely. It's crazy. Things have gotten so political.
I know.
I had one guy came to me and he said the woman handed him a list and it was all, and this is your thing, that's fine, but you need to find someone who's like you. And it was such politically correct minutia.
Wow. She's probably
no
still
way anybody is going to be able to sign off on all of it. And it was, you know, a series of questions that basically,
We're entrapments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, crazy ones that cover just about every aspect of political correctness. And it was, okay, do you promise you won't offend me in any of these ways? And it's there's no way anybody can live up to it.
Well, what was interesting about that particular situation is she'd gotten that from the internet. Somebody had written this article.
Right. It wasn't even hers. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, handed out this list for women to hand out to these guys.
Right. Exactly.
And it was a guarantee you will be single for the rest of your life.
No question.
If you hand this to every guy, because there wasn't one soul who was going to check off that list. There isn't one soul, man or woman, female or male, who's going to qualify.
I mean, imagine, ladies, if you went out on a date and a guy basically said to you, here's my checklist of things I want. And they included every sexual favor that is to his fancy, whatever paycheck you go make, you're going to go and put it, come home and not ask questions and deposit it into my bank account. You're not going to bother me from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays while I watch football. And even if you're a football fan, I don't want you to bother me anyway. That's my time.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Crazy stuff, you know? It's like, the thing is, if you do get someone to agree to that crazy list, you've got someone who isn't your soulmate or your equal at all. It's someone you're going to completely lose respect for by sign off on all that.
Yeah, an adversarial relationship.
Yeah, you're looking for a commonality. You're looking to see if this person genuinely connects with you, if they're one of you, if you get each other.
If you get along.
Right, and that should be a fun process. It shouldn't be like a job interview.
And you know what's totally, and it's crazy because with that girl, right, who showed the list of like, you know, to on the first date, and with people who create these ridiculous expectations, they're most likely not fully aware of the fact that they're terrified and this is like their armor. Like this is their way of ensuring that they don't ever have to actually open up their heart, because ultimately they know. Yeah.
It's like you mentioned earlier, they're afraid or don't trust that they can make good judgments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is all such good content. I love that we're going way over this because it's so good. I could ask you guys so many questions. I would love for you to share your free gift with the audience and so they know how to get a hold of you and just be in your world.
Well, because Emily's so humble, I'm going to go ahead and brag. When they go to the link that I'm sure you'll put up on the page, it's programs.deservewhatyouwant.com/bonus. They're going to get Emily's free book. I mean, it's like a real actual book. I mean, you don't have to read the whole thing cover to cover to get it. You can take it, you know, three or four pages at a time. That's the beauty of it. So there's a lot of value there. It's called Letters from Friends. And what Emily did was compile letters from real women all over the world and made it so just about every dating or relationship dilemma was covered somewhere in that book. And the titles are all very descriptive. It's almost like a little mini encyclopedia of dating advice you can get. You can hold in reference and, you know, look up the topics and read three or four pages of Q&A from a real woman somewhere in the world and Emily's answer to it. That's yours free just for showing up. But when you get on Emily's newsletter, which comes twice a week and is actual real content, it's actually a real newsletter. You'll also get a great audio that Emily did called Take Control, How to Take Control of Your Dating Life, which is all about having options and not settling, which is very, very pertinent to this call. And there's also another special report called 10 Signs He Is Serious About Marrying You. In other words, 10 signs he doesn't think he's settling for you.
Right.
Exactly right. So those are free bonuses unadvertised when you get up there. Also, very, very importantly, we would love to talk to you. Emily and I will talk to you for free for 25 minutes. Just simply click the little pink button at the top right corner. Get on our calendar, and we want to hear what's going on with you. And if we can help you out in a coaching capacity, that would be wonderful. But we still love to have our finger on the pulse of everything that's going on. And we're also funny and entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good thing to do. That's a given. Thanks, you guys. Thank you so much, Scott and Emily. And listeners, make sure you click the link on the page and get access to this free information and these free gifts. I love what you guys are giving away. And I would love to wrap it up with my favorite question. And that is, what is something that you guys feel like we can do each day to make this world a better place?
Get enough sleep. Because you get up and you're cranky and, you know, you don't want to see people and whatever. That's good. No, to make a world a better place. I think, you know, there's so much negativity and there's so much optimism. There's so little optimism nowadays. And what happens is people kind of get on this bandwagon of complaining. So when you bring a little humor and try to take yourself a little bit less seriously and try to help make people smile every day, I think you're making a world a better place.
Mm-hmm. You took my thunder. Big positive thoughts. You know, wake up in the morning and think, you know, how can I make life better? If I'm overly stressed and just feeling down,
go back to sleep.
Change my mentality. You know, turn on some music that will bring my spirits up. You know, one day I remember I was up really late at night with a lot of worries on my head. And so I went on the computer and typed in happy thoughts. That was the Google search was happy thoughts, and pulled up some videos. And, you know, the funny thing is there's videos out there that had that very topic, and they throw out a bunch of stuff at you of things that you should be happy about. And I went to bed happy that night. So, yes, positive thinking is so important. It's good for the soul.
Just go watch a couple Mel Brooks movies. Frankenstein and Spaceballs. There's no way in hell you could be in a bad mood after that.
I love that you guys are sharing that. And it's so funny you say that. Yes, it was overcast here, you guys, yesterday here in San Diego. So I was I felt myself going into that mood where I'm like, I don't like being in this mood. So I literally Googled LOL moments. And I watched Ellen for like 2 hours. And get this, you guys, last night I had the funniest dreams ever. And I don't usually have like funny dreams, but it just goes to show that when you do, you experience happy, positive things. It then can become your experience. So I love that you guys also mentioned to Google and that you Googled happy thoughts.
What you feed your brain is what you're going to produce.
And you know, life happens and not everything is happy, happy, joy, joy. Right. Or a Stimpy song. But I mean, you know, that makes it easier to face the adversities when you have a sense of humor about it.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much, you guys, for coming on. And this was just wonderful content. And I'm just so honored and happy to have experienced this with you guys and to bring this to the world.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, the honor's all ours. We're always happy to talk to vast audiences of women who want to meet a great guy. And I think that just is fantastic.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Bye.